Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Children's Corner Show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, Children's Corner. Today, my very special guest is Anita Miranda, and we're going to be talking about her book, Nana's Helping Hand with PTSD. Anita lives with PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, not brought on by combat. She penned her first book, along with a workbook, launching both in May 2015. Incredibly, after only 2 days on Amazon.com, Nana's Helping Hand with PTSD catapulted to bestseller status in highlighting the painful prevalence of PTSD for thousands of families, especially with droves of veterans returning from America's overseas wars. PTSD also affects first responders, such as firefighters and police, plus victims of assault and natural disasters. That's why, as a first-time best-selling children's author, Miranda's book is a significant contribution, touching families urgently crying out for help to cope with America's new mental health epidemic. Now, you and your loved ones can fly higher while living with PTSD by applying Anita's hands-on tips on how to cope with emotionally disabled family members, coworkers, and friends. You can find out more by visiting Anita's website, which is www.anitamiranda.com, and you can also watch the book trailer at Vimeo. I have links to both the website and to the book trailer in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Anita to the show. Good day, Anita.
Good day, Robert. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. And, you know, this particular aspect, PTSD, it is, like I said in the introduction, it is so prevalent. And you know, we really do need books like yours to be able to help guide a discussion, you know, for children.
Yes, I found that being a parent myself and now being a grandparent, and what a lot of folks don't know is there's such a thing as called PTSD parental transference. And what that means is the child may not have had a traumatic event, but living in a household with someone that has episodes and has PTSD, the child tends to want to bond and want to relate, and therefore they start showing and displaying the behaviors, and in many times it is a transference, and not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, very much so. Well, you know, I'd love to start, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners your experience, like I mentioned in the introduction, your experience with PTSD, because this is obviously something that you know firsthand, and I think it's really important for the listeners to know exactly where it is that you're coming from with this.
Oh, I would be happy to, Robert. I basically grew up ward of the court and in foster homes and in group homes, but I didn't know any other way of life, so I didn't know that I possibly could have had my first trauma in these different places. But growing up and joining the military, thinking that I was safe in this environment, I was assaulted within the Navy, and my PTSD is not combat-related. So it's very difficult for someone like me, one, being female, two, it's not combat-related, but I'm still a veteran. And what happened was, right after the incident, I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know what to do. I was 19 years old. And so I basically just stuffed it and went on with my life, and I thought I was just fine. Moving forward on 9/11, when that Pandora's box opened, the trigger, the flashbacks, my life was turned upside down, and PTSD became relative to me and changed my life and almost destroyed it.
Yeah, you touched on several areas there that I think people just, don't recognize. You know, the fact, first of all, many times when we talk about PTSD, at least when we're, showing it, or when you see it around on TV a lot, that kind of thing, a lot of times there's the focus on the men, not on the women. So, I mean, it's, that's that one aspect. And especially if, it affects a mother, if it affects a mother, I mean, then immediately, you're talking about the impact of family life, and children. Because many times, the mother is very much, looked to for that nurturing role, and if one is dealing with PTSD, that can sometimes be a challenge.
Yes, very much so. If when you're not receiving as a child, and then not receiving the support and feeling safe as a young adult in the formative years, and then moving on as an adult when things are kind of intact and your DNA and everything else is put together, then what do you have to fall back on when you are hit with a traumatic event? And traumatic events could be even as simple as watching something on TV to all the way to witnessing a horrific crime. So it's a wide range of trauma-induced that depends on the person. We don't know what will affect who and when.
Yeah, that's very much the case. And so many times, when you're talking about you don't know when it's going to affect you, is it common or, for someone who maybe experiences a traumatic event to exhibit symptoms of PTSD, long after the event? I mean, rather than almost I'm sure, there's cases where it's immediate, but is it one of these cases where sometimes it takes a while for the symptoms to appear?
Yes and no. That's a great question. And many people that I talk to now, almost 100% say, oh, I wonder if I have PTSD. Well, first of all, Robert, we all experience trauma of some sort, whether it's divorce or losing a pet, losing our key to our house. There's so many things that occur that is traumatic. The level of trauma depends on what it is and how it affects the person. If you don't mind, I'd like to read from my Nana Knows Helping Hand with PTSD, page 35. Not everyone gets PTSD. Each person is different. I like to describe it like this. We ride in a car every day, right? Right, Bobby and Bella reply. And if our car is working and we have good tires, our ride isn't bumpy. The car runs smoothly because of the shock absorbers. These are very important to the car because it absorbs the shock from the road. Our bodies sort of have these shock absorbers. Most people's shock absorbers work just fine. When something really bad happens, almost everyone will feel very shaken up. And for a while, there could be nightmares, flashbacks, or trouble sleeping or concentrating. After a period of time, the symptoms are gone. What are symptoms, Nana? Asked Bella. Symptoms are like what happens when you get the flu. Your head hurts, you may get sick to your stomach, you're probably grouchy, and you don't feel like eating. But PTSD is not the flu. However, PTSD is a real illness because it is not contagious and it's not something that people talk about. It is something that we need to be made aware of because it does come in all forms of shapes and traumatic events, and it may be immediately or it may be years, like myself, that PTSD comes out, and it's recognizing the symptoms and the signs. That's what's important, Robert.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really good point to help, and with that, to be able to help children differentiate, between, I would say basic trauma, but I mean, but how trauma affects one's life. and how one responds to trauma. You know, it seems like that's the key element in helping discern whether or not one is suffering from PTSD.
Yes, and there's actually statistics. Believe it or not, Robert, children and teens do suffer from PTSD. The studies show that about 15% to 43% of girls and 14% to 43% of boys go through at least one trauma. Of those children and teens who have been through a trauma, 3 to 15% are girls and 1% to 6% of boys develop PTSD. And these are our children. These are children that we as parents are supposed to keep safe. And learning that it starts at such a young age, we need to let people know and the world know about our children.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, gosh, when I look at some of the, you know, the challenges and the things that children are going through today. Now, and I'm sure that, you know, they existed for, you know, many generations. But to me, it seems that children are exposed to a lot more, you know, simply through, you know, media and our contacts and social media and our connection, you know, throughout the world. They're just seem to be exposed to so much more than maybe previous generations had. I've seen, you know, children, you know, just watch something on TV and just have a very, you know, emotional reaction to what they're seeing.
Yes, that's accurate. And not only that, with today's world, with the World Wide Web, being bullied, it doesn't stop when you walk through those doors. At least back home and back in the days, you used to be able to go home and feel safe. Now, it's still around you. It's still on the Internet, and it's something that can haunt you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's for sure. And as a matter of fact, yesterday was Stop Bullying Day. I made little calendars. For, you know, each year I make calendars, and I wanted to make sure to put that one on there because it's such an important issue. And you know, I just you know, recognized that yesterday was Stop Bullying Day because it's really important. And I think we just need to raise awareness, you know, of the issue and try and nip it in the bud, you know, because from the ones being bullied and the ones who are the bullies, you know, they both need to learn something through that particular process.
Exactly. And, you know, growing up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt us is not a true statement. And especially nowadays, our psyche, our emotional, our mental well-being is so fragile, and it is something that we need to take more seriously because, you know, even with the laws right now, as an example, let's say there's a family and there's the mother has PTSD and the father has a bad day, and then the father tells the mom, you know, why haven't you cooked and why haven't you done this, and just starts to berate her. And the mom is starting to feel like she's inadequate and she isn't able to do things and starts to cry or starts to get into that flashback mode. Then the father continues with his emotional abuse. It continues and continues. And the person that has PTSD is highly triggered. Well, by law, if the mom can't get the person to stop, and says stop, or pushes, or touches, or does anything in a physical manner to protect yourself, that is now assault. Where with him, nothing would happen because we have freedom of speech. But people don't understand that PTSD is the same as if someone said things to me and I'm triggered and I'm in a flashback. It's the same thing like pulling a trigger, putting it into my body, putting it in front of my face. It's the same thing, but by law, I could get in trouble to protect myself if I throw something or it happens to hit this person or protect myself and I do touch the other person. But because he has freedom of speech, nothing would happen to him. And that's really, really hard and sad because it really is a physical abuse inside our bodies, our mind, but it's not fair. And that's something I hope that will change with legislation and with people saying, you know, it's got to stop. We have freedom of speech, but it goes to a certain point. And when you have PTSD, we should be protected by letting someone know, I have PTSD, I need you to stop. And that's the same thing as say no and say no in the bedroom. So I find that very hard to live with.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to explore that a little bit more, because in your book, you do address the idea of triggers and safe words. So can you talk a little bit about that, you know, particularly safe words, you know, for people who are listening who don't understand that, what that is? Could you talk about that?
What I found with my book is I didn't want it to be clinical. I didn't want someone to open up the book and start seeing sight words and all this chemical imbalance and et cetera. But I also knew that a small child would not pick up the book. It is illustrated for children in order to remain safe. But the words is really for an adult mentality. And the reason I did that is I wanted adults to be able to read my book, feel safe while they're exploring the PTSD and its symptoms, sharing with their family in a safe environment. That's why Nana Knows was a character that I created, because when you hear about Nana, isn't that warm, comforting? You want to get in her lap. You want the cookies and milk. And so I created this character specifically for that. But what I wanted to do was one more thing, and that was I added QR codes inside the book. So within the book, there are sensitive subjects. For instance, I talk about something bad happened. There's a QR code there. Symptoms, another QR code. So anytime it has to do with something highly sensitive, there are QR codes. And the QR codes goes to the National PTSD Organization hotline website so they can get more information. I didn't want my book just to be a good night story or for it to share with the family. I wanted it to be a resource. So with that resource, I developed the workbook. And I didn't realize how important two pieces of the puzzle, but I just kind of threw in at the last minute. And I'm told that if I could only get two things out of the workbook, it would be safe words and words to avoid. And what this means is simply for me. Let's say my top five trigger words for me would be, no one's going to believe you. Why are you causing a fuss? You know, it's not all about you. Why are you doing this now? Nobody's going to love you. So I have a list of 15 that I give to my support group and my family. So they know the words to avoid. And if I am being triggered, what to do next. At the same time, I have safe words. And that is, we're in this together. This too will pass. Everything's going to work out. You're not in this by yourself. So, again, safe words. So I didn't want to just say, hey, don't say these 15 words or sentences to me. I wanted to give alternatives. So it's kind of like with a child, and you tell them, no, you know, don't touch that. No, no, don't touch that. If you don't reinforce with something they can touch, then they're going to want to touch things that they can't. So I use the same theory of please don't say these words, but say these words. And that has really helped me and my family and my support. And I've had great feedback of others and using this particular method.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's really key. I mean, because it seems that, you know, first of all, I don't think people just generally understand exactly what, you know, what your triggers are, you know. So it's really important. And I think especially your family members and friends and support groups, that if they understood and knew, you know, what types of words or phrases, you know, trigger a reaction, a really negative reaction within you, I'm sure they would, you know, love to avoid those, would not want to use those. And then also by providing, you know, safe words is a way to, you know, should it maybe happen, you know, that you are triggered, mm-hmm. to be able to help you through that. So, you know, and to me, that's a wonderful tool to educate the people around you and also to help you, you know, not experience that trauma again, you know.
And people think that, oh, you know, really, does that work? Well, let's kind of explore that. If I walked into a busy room and the person with me leans over and tells me, oh, you know, there's sure a lot of people here. They're all looking at us. You know, are you sure you're going to be able to go in there? You know, hey, don't make a big fuss. You know, we can, and when they start seeing that, you know, I'm starting to have my triggers. Now, if the same person said, instead, I see there's a lot of people here. I could stand behind you. We could go this way. So they redirect. So they let me know that they also recognize there's a lot of people and what they're going to do to help me feel safe. Do you want me to stand behind you or in front of you? Do you want me to go first and find us a place and then you come after? Huge difference. And the funny thing is a good friend of mine, whenever she's getting mad as well, she would say, you're just crazy. You're just acting crazy. And I would go ballistic. It would be a trigger that would, I mean, it was not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, what she says is, you're acting Tasmanian again, not being a Taz, and it does nothing. It's the same thing, but it doesn't affect you the same way. So that's
right.
What I want to teach and help families develop their own safe words and words to avoid and really what it means to someone that's affected by PTSD.
Yes, great. Well, I want to take just a quick break. We're about halfway through the show, so anyone who is listening, that if you would like to call in and ask Anita any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in there, and we'll be sure to ask them of Anita when we return. And one of the things I do before we go to the break, I do want to, you mentioned the QR codes. Now, for people listening, if you don't know what they are, they're those funny-looking square codes that you see, you know, a lot of times on products or out and about for advertising that have all kinds of, you know, black squares within them. I mean, it's just those kind of codes. So if you have a smartphone, you can download a QR code reader, and that'll kind of show it to you, or just go on Google, and you'll understand what
right.
they are. But that's a wonderful interactive aspect to the book. I think, you know, what you do is you open it up for further exploring, you know, on particular topics.
Exactly. That was the whole intention, as well as having a warm, fuzzy character like Nana knows.
Okay, great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Anita Miranda, and we are talking about her new book, Nana's Helping Hand with PTSD. And again, you can find out more about Anita and her book and other services by visiting her website, which is www.anitamiranda.com. And I have a link to that in the show page description. And I also have a link to her book trailer, a really cute trailer, and that'll tell you a lot about Nana's Helping Hand. So with that, we're back, Anita. Okay.
Great.
Now, we're going to go ahead and, for people listening, we want you to see if any, for you to kind of see if your children have any of the signs that we're going to be talking about now. So, go ahead, Anita. Let's talk about that.
Alrighty. Well, what I put together is 8 behaviors displayed by secondary traumatization from a parent's PTSD. What that means is the parent or someone close to them may have PTSD themselves, and what signs to look for. And so what I ask parents are you a parent that's been diagnosed with PTSD, or do you know someone that has? Are you concerned how this is affecting your family? Well, what we've done is we put 8 behaviors to look out for. These are some of the warning signs: dwelling on life how it used to be, having nightmares and not getting enough sleep, avoid socializing with siblings or friends, losing interest in things they cared about, appear lethargic with loss of appetite, waiting for something bad to happen, feeling anxious, jittery, or irritated, acting violent or physically aggressive. Now, a lot of these signs can be equal to other types of abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. The difference, though, Robert, is someone has experienced a traumatic event or has parental transference. What that means is that whatever happens at that moment, we all feel trauma, we all feel shaken, we all feel sad of some way or another. But if those signs continue in weeks and months, and when you get re-exposed to something that reminds you of it, that is a sign of PTSD, and that's what we as parents need to be aware of, and how PTSD can stay dormant. But you'll see something about an event, a smell, TV, a sight, words. That's what makes it different from other diagnoses and other types of chemical or alcohol abuse.
Okay, well, you know, that is so important, you know, to be aware, you know, because first of all, when a parent experiences a traumatic event, I mean, they're going through their own processes, but it's just so important also to, in addition to that, be aware of the children and all, basically the whole family structure, you know, everyone involved in the family environment as to how that affects them as well. So, you know, so those behaviors are really great for parents to just be aware of, you know, their children and see if they recognize, you know, any of those behavioral differences, you know, from pre-trauma to post-trauma.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, now with Nana, you know, when you wrote the book, like you said, you wrote it, you know, for you know, adults with the children, you know, the children's book feeling to make it safe, that kind of thing. So is this book for parents? Is it one that can be used in the family environment? For example, you know, like you talked about parental transfer. I mean, is this a good tool to be used for discussion for, let's say, a child does experience some of those behavioral changes, you know, to be able to, you know, basically talk about what it is and maybe help ease the child through that?
Yes, it definitely has that part, that component to the book. But the reason I wrote the book is, a quick scenario, is I have 3 children. 2 children are from my first marriage. My second is from my second marriage. They're 10 years apart. My first two children were with me when I wasn't aware I had PTSD. They went through the triggers and the flashbacks. I didn't know. They didn't know. And it was pretty turbulent, our relationship. My third child, 10 years later, has gone through recovery and has learned about PTSD and has learned my safe words and has learned what it is to be in my world and for me to relate to him. So three different individuals, two from one era, the second from a second era. My first two are still angry with me and we're not having any discussions. And I don't see them or my grandchildren, and that breaks my heart. My third child, who went through recovery and understands, we have an amazing relationship. So I wrote this book so I can give this to my adult children so they could read it to their children and hopefully give them awareness, because they could very well suffer from parental transference and not be aware of it, and that's why part of our relationship is broken. I wanted to mend families, and I wrote this book for adults to feel safe reading the book to either their children or to themselves from a child's perspective, but absorbing it from an adult wisdom and seeing it from adult eyes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what a wonderful tool. I mean, you know, because, you know, and I think, you know, key in what you just said is just how an awareness of PTSD and having that a child, you know, go through recovery kind of, you know, with you, just how much it affects relationships. You know what I mean? And it just seems that, yeah, you know, and it just seems that, you know, if you want to have, you know, parents out there, if you want to have healthy, happy relationships with your children and you suffer from PTSD, that it's just so important to be able to have that discussion and have them come along with you and gain that understanding.
Oh, and it's so important to also start with our children, because our children are our future. And if they're not getting the treatment and the help themselves, as in alcoholics, there is AA and Al-Anon. There's Al-Anon in order to understand the alcoholics' viewpoint as well as their disease. And so that's why it's so important with our children. The children are our future. And if we don't help them understand and be able to get their own coping mechanisms, they're going to be in the workplace. They're going to be our future leaders. They're going to be in positions of possible leadership and power. And what happens when they go postal or something happens? I want to prevent that with our families from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, can be handed down from generation to generation until there's, you know, the cycle is broken, until the, you know, knowledge and awareness and, you know, and understanding, compassion and changes are made. I mean, those are the things that, you know, are really so important, you know, and it's really to empower the children to be the best that they can be, you know, and yeah.
I feel as a parent that, you know, my job is to give my children a safe environment, nourishment, emotional stability, as well as to raise productive, loving, compassionate adults and move forward. And I feel that whether it's PTSD or a different disorder or anything else that may have a fragmentation on the family, it's my job as a mom to be able to offer this type of information. I think sex education and disability and mental illness and PTSD, it should all come full circle of teaching and training and being the best model and mentor and having productive, loving children grow up into compassionate adults.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the your book has that workbook component. So what are the types of activities or work that an individual would, you know, do
with that workbook? I mean, do you have questionnaires, a journaling aspect, or exactly what kind of exercises are people going to be able to do in that workbook?
Well, when I developed the workbook, it simply was a workbook. But since I have evolved the book itself, I would probably call it more of an activity book. But I do start it with feelings. And the feelings are, I feel happy when, I feel sad when. But what I have learned in my clinical passion and education is if you're going to mention something that's sad or negative, you always end it with something positive. So, for instance, I would say what makes me sad is it's raining and I can't go play on my bike. And then the next would be something that makes me happy. I love when I come home and there's cookies being baked. So it's always going to be about feelings. And you get about 5 or 6 of these questions. Then it starts talking about the book. Who's Nana? Why does Nana help people? Who is the children? So I want them to identify with the book and the characters. Then it goes into question and answer. It goes into yes or no, true or false. The biggest question is only the military able to get PTSD? And the children say no. And the big thing that I had to put in there was PTSD is my fault, and the children recognize that it isn't. So there's a lot of self, affliction and reflection, and there's also the second, that's the second part. The third part is continuing with feeling, and then we have the safe words, then we have words to avoid, and then we have a little bit of journaling, and then the very last page has 15 little icons, all different kinds of feelings. And it says, I feel, and that is an indicator of how that person feels after they work through the workbook. Because I want to make sure that the person feels safe, happy, or if they are being triggered, that's a good indicator for the family to go for either therapy or counseling or to have even more of a discussion.
Oh, that's great. Boy, it seems like a wonderful process, for people, for kids to work through that aspect. And I really like that the part of, blame, someone to blame for getting it, because that's, if a child sees, or has a parent who has PTSD, one of the things that, is, it seems to me it's important for the child to know it's not like not that the child caused it, it wasn't the fault of the parent, it's just one of those things that happens sometimes,
Right.
And yeah.
We call it what it is what it is. There's nothing you could change. It's how you cope, understand, and be able to relate with other people. That's basically the three golden nuggets of what you can do about PTSD.
That's great. Well, we're down to like the last 5 minutes here. So one of the things I really love to talk with authors who do books like yours that are highly illustrative, is talk about that process, because, when you decided to do Nana's book. Tell us exactly how you went about, because she's a wonderful character, and you can look in the trailer, and she's got a great personality. How did you go about, finding the person to do the illustration for you, and tell us a little bit about how that worked?
Well, every part of the book was put a lot of thought into and a lot of research. Even the blues, we looked at the color blues and found that which particular type of blue was more the calming effect. And so every part of this book has a therapeutic component to it. So we went with Nana Knows because, again, Nana typically is someone you could go to. The children and the characters actually are of color. And so I've had a couple of kids in some of the groups is, oh, well, they're Latinas, or oh, they're Asian, or oh, they're some kind of other than Anglo-Saxon, is that I made the characters that people can relate to in all walks of life. I also chose the cat and the dog, and that is, again, family. What does a cat and a dog mean? And the cookies and milk, I was told by someone, why don't we have Nana in the garden and the kids come over for their salad? And I just didn't see that. I mean, yes, I could probably write a book about healthy eating, but I feel Nana is warm cookies and milk. And we went ahead and put them in bean bags so that way they can feel comfortable instead of chairs. And the other part that we did, and my illustrator, Samantha Leiter, she'd been with me since she was a junior at Collins College, and we work under the umbrella of a charity. She's been with me and is now part owner of this company, and so we did a lot of collaboration. And the part about in the book is, if anyone purchased the book, when you look at the legal, all legal mumbo-jumbo, it says free for the purchase of this book. So there's a 30-minute private one-on-one mentoring session with me. So I will talk to you, and we could discuss what's going on with you, give you referrals. If there's anything I could help you, do you need benefits? You just need someone to talk to. And in the very last page, we have a full page of QR codes, and there's all kinds of resources to the VA, how to get your benefits, to Social Security, to there's even one kids corner. So I definitely would like the kids to go onto my site, nananosptsd.com, and there's a kids corner that has a lot of activities, free activities. And then in the very end, it says subscribe to Nana Knows channel. This is something that we're going to be updating, any news, anything going on, and we're going to be traveling cross-country to hear people's stories. And this book is just 1 out of 10 series. So we're looking for stories, and we're looking for other people to collaborate with.
Great. Boy, so anyone out there listening, if you have a story, you want to collaborate with Anita, feel free to contact her. And just in a couple of minutes, I did notice also that you have a charity called Circle of Helping Hands, a nonprofit. Would you mind just sharing a little bit about what that is? Just for, you know, because I think that's a wonderful thing that you're doing there.
Well, I created Circle of Helping Hands almost 10 years ago, and what I wanted to do was give people a chance to get the help they needed but not ask for handouts. So if I help Susie get a job or Susie get schooling, she then devotes X amount of hours to either my charity or to the community, or we have businesses that help. So Circle of Helping Hands is literally, I help you, you help them, you pass it on, it comes full circle. With that, we have other books. It's called Nana Knows Recipes, Comfort and Delicious Foods for PTSD. That's totally free on Amazon. And we have Nana Knows Coloring Books for Adults. We have Courage and Transformation, and it's also a journal. Only one like it in the world. So we would love for people to go to Amazon.com or Nana Knows PTSD. And there's a lot of free things and a lot of great things. The proceeds benefits our charity Circle of Helping Hands. We help veterans, women, and children.
Wow, that's great. A lot of wonderful free stuff to help people. And that is so nice of you to do that and provide that. You know, that's, that's one of those wonderful types of activities that people who are particularly in need, you know, I mean, it's just great to be able to get that for free. So I commend you for doing that. That's wonderful. And, you know,
I would take just like 10 seconds for you, and that is you bringing inspiration to the Earth Show. I chose your show particularly because of what you do, what you inspire, and how you're changing and inspiring and bringing to the Earth. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's, you know, I love, to me, I get a charge out of talking with inspirational people like you and people from all around the world who are just doing wonderful things. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, well, again, thank you for your time, Anita. And now, are you on social media? Can people
contact
you?
If you go if you go to Nana Knows PTSD, you'll see all my little widgets from Twitter, Facebook, and et cetera.
Great. So everyone, join Anita there. You can join me there, too. And anyway, I thank you very much, Anita, for your time. I really appreciate it. And I will be following you on the social media.
Thank you. And same here. Ciao.
Thank you. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining us. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth's Children's Corner Show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at ByteRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.